لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنت بسنته إلى اليوم الدين. I praise Allah سبحانه وتعالى. I seek His help, I seek His forgiveness, and I seek His divine assistance. Whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, indeed there is none who can misguide him. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows to go astray, indeed there is none who can guide him aright. I testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave, his messenger, and the seal of all the prophets. After what proceeds, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, I welcome everyone here on the net and here in the Musalla. Jazakum Allahu Khairan Kathir. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and reward you all. Today we will continue with the blessed companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah رضي الله عنهم رضوا عنه. إن شاء الله may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. He was one who was given the glad tidings of paradise, one of the 10 companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that was specifically giving this special blessing of the glad tidings of Jannah. Last week we went over beginning with his features. We went over his origin and his full name. We went over how he embraced Islam, when he embraced Islam. We went over the incident between him and his father at the Battle of Uhud, etc. Today, inshallah ta'ala, I hope that we could learn from this blessed companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and try to implement and tread the path that the Sahaba treaded to follow Rasulullah, in following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and loving Allah and His Messenger and being loyal to each other and being obedient to the commands of our leaders like the Sahaba were. Today, hopefully, inshallah, we will learn how Abu Ubaidah lost his front teeth, right? And how and why Abu Bakr said, quote, Abu Ubaidah was one of the best to have lost their front teeth. We will also learn, inshallah ta'ala, how dear Abu Ubaidah was to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to Umar and to Abu Bakr. And inshallah we also learn here how successful Allah made him in times of war. Not only was he a Sahabi who was loyal to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and following the Prophet alayhi wa sallam, but he was a great leader. Now this combination, this ingredient isn't uncommon, right? They go hand in hand. If a person is a great follower, he will be an excellent leader. And I say to you again, if a person can learn to teach himself to become a great follower, an obedient person, he will make a great leader. And this was Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him and bless his soul. So we left off in the middle of the battle of Uhud. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them. When the battle was over, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had one of his front teeth broken. Okay, this is not uncommon knowledge. His forehead bashed in, two discs of metal from his helmet had penetrated his cheeks. Abu Bakr wanted to take the disc out, but Abu Ubaidah begged him to leave the job to him. Abu Ubaidah was afraid that if he extracted them with his hands, he would hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right here, we learn how Abu Ubaidah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him, loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much. Abu Ubaidah, he volunteered out of sheer love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to extract this metal that had went inside of his cheeks, right? I don't know if you know, but they didn't have cushion inside of those, right? They didn't have all the soft cushion inside of this, and this nice soft foam and all of these things inside of their armors. Therefore, it was easy to get more hurt from the armor than to get hurt from the weapon. This happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Battle of Uhud. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was bleeding. He had a tooth got broken or chipped or whatever. His forehead got a little dented, or there was a knot or something of this order. And all of this tragedy is surrounding, and all the attention is on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's bleeding. Can you imagine that? He's bleeding. He's hurt. This is the Battle of Uhud. You had a lot of Sahabi killed. You had a lot of leaders of the Ummah. You had a lot of leaders of the Quraysh slaughtered. Some Muslims died. All of this tragedy surrounding this event, and here, Abu Ubaidah, Abu Bakr, and I'm sure some more companions are trying to do crass surgery, right? I don't know what you want to call that surgery, but he had a major wound. Metal was stuck in his cheeks. And Abu Bakr, his companion, As-Siddiq, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him, he volunteered, he wanted to take the metal out of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's cheeks with his hand. But Abu Ubaidah said, no, hold on. He said, he begged Abu Bakr, please, let me do it. Please, Abu Bakr, let me take it out. Please, you might hurt the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam more than he's already hurt. So Abu Ubaidah said, if you do it with your hands, you might hurt him. So he volunteered to bite one end and take the other end out with, I can't imagine how he did this with his teeth, but he did, okay? And while he's taking the metal out of the cheek of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of his front teeth fell out. Can you imagine biting so hard, okay? Biting so hard and trying to be cautious about not hurting him, and you're almost halfway out and you're like struggling and you lose one teeth. He carefully pulled out the disc, and only to have his other front tooth fall out, okay? This is what the author is saying. So he lost one tooth, and he says, subhanAllah, it's almost out, I don't care. And tried again and lost the other tooth. So both of this man's front teeth out, and finally the disc came out of the cheek of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He bit the second one, pulled it out, and his other tooth fell out. Abu Bakr used to say, quote, Abu Ubaidah was one of the best to have lost their front teeth. Rasulullah ﷺ gave Abu Ubaidah the good news of Jannah, along with others who received the news. The greatest and most noble people of the Sahaba, Abu Ubaidah. Abu Ubaidah was with Rasulullah ﷺ in every major event, from the day he followed him until the day the Rasulullah ﷺ died. Abu Ubaidah was a devout follower of the Prophet ﷺ. Everywhere the Prophet ﷺ decided to go, you seen Abu Ubaidah. In every battle, in every call to jihad, Abu Ubaidah was in the front lines. On that day, on the day that there was a event that happened, and the event, the scholar is saying, this is the day of Saqifa. Okay? The day of Saqifa, i.e. the day that Abu Bakr was chosen as the successor of Rasulullah ﷺ, Umar said to Abu Ubaidah, I want you all to listen. Quote, give me your hand and I will swear allegiance to you as a successor, as the successor to Rasulullah ﷺ, for I heard him say to you. Every quote, every ummah has an ameen, custodian, and you are the ameen of this ummah. This is Abu Bakr. I mean, this is Umar ibn Khattab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. And Abu Bakr is there, and all of the Sahaba were there, the Ansar was there, right? The Muhajirin were there, and Abdurrahman ibn Auf, and all of these eminent Sahaba, and you have this big meeting going on, and they're trying to decide who is going to be the successor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Umar, out of all men, out of all men, Umar said to Abu Ubaidah, give me your hand and I'll swear allegiance to you as successor to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for I heard him say to you, every ummah has an ameen, and you are the ameen of this ummah, end quote. But Abu Ubaidah replied, quote, I wouldn't do this in the presence of a man who was ordered by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to lead us in our salah, and who did so until the day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, i.e. Abu Bakr. Look at the compassion. Look at the khushur. And of all of these emotions going, there's some sahaba going insane. There's some sahaba who just sat down and just didn't say anything. There's some sahaba raging, going crazy. There's some sahaba threatening to cut off somebody's head if they say Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is dead. All this emotion, and Abu Ubaidah is still being considerate of his Muslim brother, of still thinking of the benefit of the ummah, is still looking after Allah's pleasure. Okay, how many of us would turn down being a king? Right? Not many. And Abu Ubaidah, he replied, quote, I wouldn't do this in the presence of a man who was ordered by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to lead us in our salah, and who did so until the day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. Can you see how the Sahaba did not want to lead? They didn't want to be leaders. They wasn't hungry to conquer nations. They wasn't eager to lead groups and millions of people, because they're going to be responsible before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more we're eager for leadership, the more we're eager for power, the more we have to realize we're going to be responsible for every action. Every action. We're going to have to be accountable for all our decisions. we're going to have to take ourselves in account before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us into account. That, in essence, is a tough thing to do as a leader. It's tough. Me leading my own family is tough. Right? What if this one, I should have spent more time with this one? What if I should be teaching this one? What if they come back and say to me on the Day of Judgment, why I didn't feed them what I ate myself? What if I'm too extravagant on this one and I'm not considerate about this one? Allah Azza wa Jalla has put us in leadership roles as a trust. As a trust. And the more you have to be accountable for, the more the Sahaba denied this responsibility. When they looked at leadership, they didn't look at it as, oh, mashallah, I'll be on the news, I'll be on the paper. No, they looked at it as, subhanallah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, look how much I have to be responsible for. So the Sahaba were shunning leadership. Us today, we're looking for it. We're going out putting posters up in our faces, right? We're all over the news trying to promote us, trying to become the leader of this, and the leader of that, and the judge of this, and the custodian of that. When the Sahaba were denying this responsibility, and Abu Ubaidah, even though Rasulullah SAW gave him this glad tidings of being the Amin of this Ummah, he still denied this. He still denied this responsibility. Then they all swore allegiance to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Ubaidah was always his advisor. Abu Ubaidah was his advisor and his generous assistant for 2 years. When Umar became the inshallah ta'ala, we will try to keep ourselves together when going over this material here. I broke down the first time I went over it, but inshallah ta'ala, Abu Ubaidah was in Shams, and we'll find out why he disobeyed Umar, the Khalifa, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Abu Ubaidah was in Sham, okay? Sham was Syria, which is not present-day Syria. It's around that vicinity, but Syria back then was huge. Shams was huge, huge. It was humongous, okay? Abu Ubaidah was in Sham, i.e. Syria, leading the Muslim troops from victory to victory until Allah granted him victory over the whole of Shams, from the river of Euphrates and to in the east up to the Asia Minor in the north. But then a plague hit Sham, a plague. It was like no other illness before. It took whole villages of people, leaving only one or two survivors. This was a plague that was so horrible, that killed so many people, it killed them by the village. It didn't just kill this one sick, this one pup, and this one. No, it killed them by the village, leaving only one or two survivors. People did not know if they had it or not until they suddenly became very ill and died, because they didn't have all this high technology where you can go to the doctor and he can give you a test and an analysis, oh, you got this bug. Or they didn't have the technology to go into a certain area or a village and seclude it all off and put the people in and have vaccines. And no, you didn't know you were sick with this plague until you got And you didn't know you were affected with this plague until you just start getting sick, and by the time you were late, it's too late. You're dead. Umar ibn Khattab was very worried about his old friend and companion. Umar sent a fast rider to Abu Ubaidah with this message, quote, "I am in urgent need of your help. So if my letter reaches you by nightfall, I strongly urge you to leave before dawn. And if it reaches you by day, I strongly urge you to leave before nightfall." End quote. When Abu Ubaidah received the letter, he said, quote, "I know his need for me. He wants me to secure the survival of someone who, however, will not live forever." End quote. So he wrote back to Umar, quote, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I know why you're in need of me, but I am with a Muslim troop, and I do not want to save myself from what is touching them, nor do I want to be separated from them until Allah's will is accomplished for me and for them. So when this letter reaches you, please release me from your command and give me permission to stay." End quote. When Umar read this letter, he cried so much that the people who were with him asked if Abu Ubaidah had died or if he was dead. "No," Umar said, "but death is close to him." That was not a lie. Indeed, Abu Ubaidah had become another victim of the plague. As he lay dying, he told his men that he would give them guidance for their lives. He told them to make the salah, fast the month of Ramadan, give sadaqah, make hajj and umrah, give advice to each other, be good advisors to your leaders, do not cheat them, and do not be preoccupied with this life. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah." End quote. He then turned to Mu'adh ibn Jabal and said, "Mu'adh, lead the salah." That was his way of passing on his authority. Within minutes of his order, he died. Mu'adh stood up and said, quote, "O people, you have just lost a man who was by Allah the most generous, the furthest from evil, the most anxious for death, and the best advisor of anyone on earth. So ask Allah's mercy for him. May Allah give you mercy." May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy be upon Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit us with all this knowledge. Jazakum Allah khayran. Barakallahu fikum. Subhanakum Allah wa bihamdik. If there's any questions, please pose your questions and or your concerns or your corrections or your commentaries. All of that is all good. If you please pose them now. You have a question? Why are you coming? How about on the net? Questions on the net? But all those who attended these two classes on Abu Ubaidah on the net, is there anyone who could highlight some of some events in his life on the screen. How about two events, right? Anyone can give me two? I'll give you one. Abu Ubaidah was the man who met his father in battle and slayed his own father. I'll give you another one if you're typing too slow. All right. Abu Ubaidah was the Amin of the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tayyib. Jazakallahu khairan. I see you next Monday, inshallah ta'ala. And don't forget the Wednesday's class, the ABCs of Islam. And next week, hopefully, we will have a brand new companion amongst the cream of the crop, Al-Ashra Mubashirun. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Allah barak fik. Is that the same as Amir? Okay. Please, Modest Nisa, please make your question more specific and replace the word that with a descriptive noun. Or what is that? Wayakum. No problem. In the future, inshallah ta'ala, make sure when you ask the question, make the question specific so that you won't put the person you're posing the question to in hardship. Oh, okay, for the person who succeeded after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yes, Amir. Or you can put Khalifatul Rashidin, I think it is, the four guided kings, righteous kings or righteous leaders, Amir. You could use Amir al-Mu'mineen, they're also referred to as that. No problem, honestly said. Inshallah, this is all a part of your grooming. When you take the Shahada and you're asking questions, this is an investment in your understanding. So the more you ask questions and the more you learn how to pose the questions, the more you eradicate the unwanted viruses, right? The unwanted information, the unwanted actions, the unwanted problems and mistakes that you will inevitably go through, right? You will continue to learn, you will continue to benefit from your mistakes until they become lesser and lesser and lesser and lesser. So jazakallahu khairan. Allah barak fik. Okay, this will end this lecture, this reminder. Barakallahu fik. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, that was a very good class. And since we're on the topic of Abu Ubaidah, the Sister Modest Nisa, remember, guys, today for the Tawheed class, we talked about the rights that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has over us and the rights that Allah has over us. Remember, we talked about one of the rights that Allah and the Prophet have is that we're supposed to love them. Remember, we talked about that, loving them more than anyone or anything else. Well, Abu Ubaidah is a good example of that, Sister Modest, because his love for Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was so much that during the battle between the unbelievers, he killed his own father, subhanAllah. He wouldn't allow anyone to come between Allah or the Prophet and the mission of Islam. So this is an example of that type of love that we talked about today in the Tawheed class. And this is what we meant when we talked about how none of us will ever reach the status that any of these companions reach. Remember you asked that question? Well, this is an example. None of us will ever reach that status, because how many of us would do that? How many of us could have the nerve, the guts, the love of Allah and the Prophet so strong that if our own parents came to physically fight against Islam, how many of us would slay them for the sake of Allah? So this isn't why what I meant when I said earlier today about how we will never reach that status, okay, the status that they have reached, and they've given more than we could ever give. That's what's meant by that. This was an excellent story.